Mambo Vipi, what's happening? My name is Anyiko Owoko and I am a lover of arts, culture and everything African. And here, we grant you front row access to your favorite celebrities, creators, the biggest personalities and industry experts. Come with me, you're now a VIP. Welcome to VIP Access Podcast. This week, I'm excited to have an amazing artist on the podcast. I've been trying to have her on here, but she's been very busy traveling around the region, you know, creating beautiful music. So I'm very happy to introduce an African contemporary artist who comes from Kenya. Her name is Liboy, and her music is soothing and inspires change, good vibes, and just positivity all around. Welcome, Liboy.
That is quite an intro. Thank you so much.
How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here. Nice to see you.
Oh, it's so great to
really
see you.
We have sat down for quite some time.
I'm so glad that we were always on the same page.
Yes.
We always knew we were going to have our time, and our time is now.
So I wasn't really worried because I knew it was going to happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and here we are.
That's amazing. And just before we started recording this interview, I just almost got conned.
But luckily, it has a talent.
I feel like you're my sister because you literally saved me. You're like, don't accept that. Don't press yes on your email. Thank you.
She literally almost got conned.
Jeez.
Yeah. But this is Nairobi.
Right?
When you're in a hurry and something is telling you something is wrong, don't do it.
And it's funny you say that because this morning before I came through to this interview, I was actually listening to your 2023 EP, Safari.
Yes.
And some of the messages in Safari are actually talking about some of the messages we're talking about here right now.
Yeah.
Like how you say this is Nairobi. Like when I listen to Safari, there are certain songs where you're actually saying like, be kind, be a good individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good karma goes around as much as bad karma
I
goes
think that's
around.
Upendo, yeah,
right?
I think Upendo and Salama. But in Upendo, yes, I'm talking about how important it is to be kind. We have to create space for everyone, but also to be aware that whatever you do to other people, if it's not good, if it's good or, you know, it's definitely going to come back to you. So create that space in your heart where you're able to accept everyone the way they are.
Mm.
Everyone the way they are. I'm just saying that and then I've remembered there's a time a friend of mine, we were actually traveling to come back to Kenya. My friend is left-handed. So at the airport, she's trying to give out her passport, of course, with her left hand.
Mm.
But then this person, the officer now, she didn't want to accept it at all. And then she's telling her, why are you rude? Well, I'm even being nice with my tone and intonation and all these things. But she was offended and she refused to take it because to her, being given something with, you know, left hand, it's rude. It's disrespectful. But to us, we're like, you can't change this person. This is how this person is. Why can't we just learn to accept people the way they are?
Mm.
If you're left-handed, if you come to me and tell me, oh, I am bisexual, or can we just learn and create space for everyone, for
exactly.
all of us to exist? Love has to be there.
Wow.
Yeah, love has to be there.
Wow.
So thank you for listening to Safari. Upendo is that song.
It is that song. It is that song. And also Safari, you know, carries some of this message, you know, life is a journey.
Yeah, it is a journey.
The ups and downs.
Yes.
And the different individuals that you're going to meet. But throughout the Safari, you have to figure out how to coexist with people.
True. And in Safari, it's not entirely about the outward experience we have with people we meet or environment. It's also about the inward experience you have with yourself, because even within us, we have faces.
True.
We have faces. So it's all a journey. Whatever you're going through, it's a journey. You have to accept those, every side of yourself, because we all have sides, right?
Yeah.
So accept it and make room for all these things. Sometimes it even helps to know your dark side.
Yeah.
It helps
a lot. Yeah.
So it's important to know these sides, to know who you are, to understand.
Mm.
Self-realization is very important.
Mm.
And then it gives you room for growth.
Wow.
Then you are able to experience and even appreciate all your journey.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's so powerful. And for everyone listening, this is exactly why I wanted to have Liboy on my podcast, because I think we are so rich in terms of the different sounds, different artists, but every artist is individual to their own, you know, style, sound.
Different,
and I find
unique.
You so unique in the way you, not only in the way you sound and the way you perform, but in the way you write. You know, there's theme to the kind of messages that you sing about, you write about. You're very conscious about human well-being.
Yes, it's because to me, Aniko Aki, if we don't change how we are inside ourselves, it's going to be hard to change anything. We're going to have multiple conferences of us talking about climate change. We're going to have multiple conferences of us talking about extrajudicial killings, because these things, they come from somewhere. They stem from somewhere. It could be maybe traumas, and then we pass it on to other people. Mm-hmm. But these traumas, because we haven't healed, it's reflecting, it's showing. Yeah. But if we take time and heal the traumas, it becomes very hard for us to pass these things to the environment, to each other. It becomes very hard for that to happen. So for me to be conscious, I keep questioning the human experience. I keep questioning humanity.
Because
also there are things that do happen. And personally, I can't pretend to not see things. Mm. I just cannot. And it can be personal experience. It can be experience from someone else. These things, they happen every single day. Like now, your experience before you started the podcast. So right. Where are we going? Where are we going? Because to Naibiana, and it's affecting other people. So we're not thinking about it. Sometimes we even say, ah, it's even better politicians how they steal, because it's not affecting us directly. Yeah, but it still does.
Imagine. It's someone still just does. Cheating you and stealing from you in broad daylight.
So we have to change. Stupid. Yeah, we have to change these things. And also, I think when that happens, you become content with what you have. So, ata kon artist awata kwa kikupigia simu.
Please, listen if you hear. No, but do you meet like your fans and listeners of Liboy, and they say these kind of things like, thank you for, you know, this song, this album. Mm. I listened to your lyrics and, you know, they touched me somewhere.
Yes, that was after State of Being. State of Being was just that project that also helped me in a very huge way.
And State of Being was your first EP that came out in 2022.
Yes, November. Yeah. But I also had feedback from people around that time. And there's a lady who texted me and told me, I started playing your music and then the children just came and sat in the middle of the room.
Wow.
Without playing, they weren't talking, they were just listening to the music.
Amazing.
That alone just touched me, because it's something that could resonate with even children. It was calming them down. Sometimes when we create music, we don't even know that this is the impact it's going to have. Mm. Honestly, most of the times we don't know that, because for me, like State of Being, I created it for myself. Mm. It was for my healing.
Of course.
Yeah, it was for my own healing. And then I decided, okay, let me just put it out there and bless other people. And then it did. And to me, that's the biggest achievement. Make it, to me, that's making it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I also feel like State of Being was an important moment in your career so far, in the sense that it also made you quite discoverable among many audiences, including me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Liboy before then, but when I saw you, this is the artwork. You know, you looking up with the tribal makeup really made me see this powerful young African woman. You know, you embody that. And when I heard the record, I was like, really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I took so much time, like I said, because it was something for myself. Mm. I was coming from a place.
It's almost
of,
like a, it was a diary of sorts.
It was. I was venting. Mm. I was putting out everything because, hey, depression is real.
Yeah.
It's very real. And sometimes we think that it could be brought by something really huge. Mm. And also something that is huge to me might not be the same. So we all have different experiences, different levels, but then we just have to accept that this has happened to this person. So let's hold her hand, or let's give her time if she needs it. But for me, I needed a place or a right way of venting it out. Mm. And music and writing at that period, because I wasn't talking to people, I didn't even know how to explain it to people for it to make sense. And then you're depressed, you're having a spiritual awakening. I'm a Christian, but like I'm going through all these things same time, and it's nothing is making sense to me. So I had to take time and accept it and be in that anger or be in it, feel it,
for
me to be able to move on. So when it happened, I was writing so much. And I think I was very intentional, because I remember there are a few songs that I had to rewrite over like three times. I'm sitting down, I'm listening to it, I'm like, nah, let me change. And then that's what happened. That was the whole process. So it took some time, but then it eventually happened. So I think when you say that it got to many people, it's mainly to me. I look at it as many people could relate to it. It was relatable.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Would you say that this was kind of like your first experience with depression?
It was.
Okay.
Maybe it had happened before, but that was when I was aware of what was happening. I was aware that I needed time to experience whatever it is I was experiencing. And also, I think it was the face. And also, I've noted that it's something that reoccurs in different shapes and forms. Not depression, but like a face where you're confused.
Yeah.
And I think it prepares you for something great.
Yeah.
You just have to embrace it, accept it, and then figure out, okay, so this happened for me to learn this.
Yeah.
Or this happened for me to get this. So it's something that reoccurs. So this year I experienced something. It was almost the same, but I was like, So it's not a tea, like if you're depressed or if you are having a rough time, it happens once. It's going to happen again and again. You just need to learn from all these things and know how to figure out the rest.
Okay. We are both females existing in an industry which is heavily male dominated.
Yes.
And I always say it's not a problem of just the music industry or entertainment. But it's a global problem.
It's a global
almost
problem.
Any industry, and not just industries, but generally speaking, males are just dominating everywhere. And not to say that there are not women out there doing stuff, but generally, it's just so many men around and women not being seen enough or heard enough. What has been your experience, you know, operating in this kind of industry?
It is tough. T for tough. And it's just sad that women, we have to work even twice as harder as men to find our space, for us to break that glass ceiling. And it's weird when you do something by yourself and then people ask you, oh, so then what did you do? Because people have that notion of, oh you got together with this person like that for this to happen.
Yeah.
I think it's the society mentality that we have to change, that we can also just do it without, you know, having sexual favors or, you know. So for me, it has been really hard. I wouldn't even lie, because I've gone through so much in this industry. But then most of it happened also when I wasn't doing music professionally, like full time. That was when I experienced most of it.
Okay.
Because now I think things have changed. I just know the places or the people to interact with. Now I'm able to set boundaries and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But before, it was really hard. There's even an album that I recorded, an entire album with 9 songs that I never got because of this foolishness. And it sucks that you've spent so much time, resources, you've poured out your soul, and then you don't get it because you refuse to do A, B, C, D. Yeah. And for me, because I have a group of female artists, I like to call it a collective, where we sit down sometimes to just talk and share experiences, because we believe that's another way of changing the narrative when we talk to each other.
Of course.
Yeah, because then I know this person went through this. I'm able to handle it this way.
Mm.
But it's very saddening to hear all of them speaking of the same and talk about the pay. Pay is also not the same. There's a time a friend of mine called Willie Oyeba. Because this man deserves his flowers. A friend of mine, Willie Oyeba, who's a poet, and we were working on something, and then I just happened to ask, so what have you quoted? And then he told me his figure, and I'm like, and what have I quoted? So he told me, sometimes just talk to fellow artists who are also men to figure out how they maneuver, and it helps a lot. So if you find men who are willing to share this kind of information, these are the people that we want. We want more of them.
Yeah.
We want more Willie Oyebas, because that really helped me. So sometimes ukienda stage, you have a different pay compared to men. And imagine, maybe you probably quoted the same, but then the negotiation was done. I don't know if it's a thing where we don't know how to negotiate. I don't think so, because now it's changing. Now it's really changing. But there are so many dynamics and aspects that make it hard for women. Kuna sasa nasemangati akini liona mdem flani stage akiperform na alikuwa amebeba mtoto. Me, I didn't enjoy it. In my head, I'm just, this woman is doing the most to provide for that child.
Yeah.
And you're here telling me, I didn't enjoy it because mtoto analia. It's wrong. It's very wrong. We are all in this space. Mm. Again, upendo, we have to coexist,
yeah.
Create space for each other. I mean, it doesn't mean because I'm a woman, when I have children, it doesn't mean that that's the end of my career. It doesn't mean that. So it's just a matter of people knowing that we all need each other. Mm. Men alone cannot exist. They will exist, yes, but then they won't be able to do so much. We need each other.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah. And I feel like we also need more and more females in the music business.
Yes. So I have this initiative called She Is. It's a baby, still a baby, but step by step, we're going to get there soon. But it's called She Is, which is a collective of female artists in the art sector. Let me just say that. And we've come together to create a safe space, a serene environment for creative women to thrive. Mm. And the reason why we did that was because we just saw there was a gap. It's an idea that came the beginning of 2023. And it was after a good friend of mine called Muhonja and I. We sat down and, like I told you, we were exchanging ideas and talking and experiences and challenges. And then we were like, oh, so we're not alone. Because now after talking to her, I realized I'm not alone. And she realized she wasn't alone. Mm. So we wanted to try and change the narrative and come up with a database of women who we can also mentor so that they can be able to handle their situations differently. We can have financial classes so that they know how to handle that better. And Olivia Ambani, she's very good at that. And she's always willing to share the little knowledge that she has. So we were like, we have all these people, we can reach out to them. They are willing to be a part of this. So why not do this?
Amazing.
Have financial classes, you know, develop their skills and
empower
their talent.
Empower them with knowledge.
Exactly. Capacity building.
That's amazing.
And right now I have Shiki. Shiki is a poet and a DJ and a dancer. She's so many things, and a producer. Spontaneous is also a poet. Nail Dot is a reggae artist. Mohonja is in it. And then there's a filmmaker called Agneta. So we are the brains behind She Is. Mm-hmm. But then hopefully we're going to have more people such that even when we're not there, it's still going to continue.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Have you already had some gatherings?
Not yet, because now it's the ideation and the conceptual phase. So we've had gatherings amongst ourselves, to just make it solid enough to be able to start. But I'm very aware that Dunga Hill is interested in helping us with this. Dunga Hill Camp in Kisumu.
Yes.
Yeah, they are very much interested
connecting
us with their artists in Kisumu so that we can be able to have these conversations with them. Try and empower each other, because even us as we do it, we also learn so much from other people.
Of course. Yeah. And I mean, if anyone is listening and watching and wants to be part of this, you know, feel free to contact Livoy directly or me. But I think this is something that is necessary for the industry. And sometimes someone is watching and wants to be part. I think they could definitely reach out to you, right?
Yes. They can definitely reach out to me via email on gayosharon@gmail.com or social media platforms at Liboy. If you're a creative, a woman, you're welcome.
Come join the bandwagon.
Come join.
Is there a social media page for She Is?
Not yet.
There's going to be one soon.
Yes, there's going to be
one. So we should just follow Liboy for the updates.
Yes, there's going to be one soon. But at least now it'll be a database for women, by women, and of women.
Fantastic. So I want to come back to you, to your music, to your inspirations.
Yeah.
And we were also having a little chat before we started this podcast, and I was asking you, do you have Tanzanian roots? And you were like, actually not.
No.
I'm 100% Kenyan and Nunje for that matter.
Yes.
But when I listen to your songs, like, you really do tap into our Swahili culture, you know, which is part of our Kenyan culture. But I think a lot of Kenyans, especially in the urban towns, they look at Swahili culture as something for the coastal people or Tanzanians. But it's us.
Yeah.
It's our culture.
So there was
even, we are Swahili people.
We are. So sometimes I hear people speak and they're like, oh my God, I can't speak Swahili.
That thing.
So let me continue
really
with my English.
It's embarrassing.
Yes.
And I'm like, how are people proud to say I don't speak Swahili and I can't? Like, it's such an embarrassing thing to even start discussing. And I'm just like, I want people to change that, you know, and start speaking your language, you know, start learning your language.
In primary school and high school, we only had one day to speak Swahili. Imagine a week has 5 days, because now we're removing weekends, yeah? So 5 days you're going to school, but you have 1 day to speak Swahili. And then all the other days, if you're found speaking Swahili, you're given that...
The disc!
Yes, you're given a disc or a rotten egg
yes.
that you have to hold the entire day.
God, we also had that, yes. The disc.
So wrong, because you know, just what like... it's doing... It's erasing culture and making it look like it's embarrassing to speak Swahili.
Whoever introduced that? Because it looks like so many schools were doing that.
We're from different generations, right? But still, I experienced that in your experience.
And where did you go to school?
Our Lady of Fatma, Kariobangi North.
See, yeah. And I was all the way in Molo. And that was still happening in the Rift Valley.
It's something that has to stop because that's who we are. Yes, we have the mother tongues that comes first. But then Swahili is the national language, and that's how we can relate with each other. Yeah, so when we accept English and look at it like it's everything, we are erasing our Swahili culture.
Yeah.
So for me, because before I got really serious with this music, so there is the thing with, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and you were saying, if music is inside you, no matter what you do, you're going to come back to it eventually.
That's
because
beautiful.
That is your purpose.
That is beautiful.
You can never ignore it. You're going to go around in circles doing all these other things, but not knowing that you're wasting your, maybe not wasting your time because you might get some skills from doing all these things, but then you'll go around in circles looking for your purpose. But then the minute you realize that gift you were given, that gift that runs inside you, regardless of whether you've gone to school to learn about it or not, that gift is what is your purpose. That will show you your purpose. So for me, I did so many things, but then without knowing that music is, you know, my thing. So for me, before I knew what my purpose was, I was just doing anything provided I was heard.
Oh, so that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Even in terms of music, before you were just
I was just... experimenting, and which is important
it
for
is
artists.
Important. It is
very
important.
Important, yeah. Because in the process, you get to know what suits you,
what you
works
like.
For you,
yeah.
What represents you, what speaks for you.
Exactly.
So it's very important. And for me, when I started being intentional with it, I was doing my research and all these things. But then the music industry and the history in Kenya changed at some point. Mm. It could be because of so many things. And do you know that now if you want to get music data, it's not in one place. It's scattered.
Everywhere.
It's all over the place.
It's the hardest thing to come to put together, by the way.
Yes, it's all over the place.
It is the hardest thing.
We have to appreciate people like Ketebul. Because at least they are trying to archive these things in one place.
Yeah.
But it's very hard for people or upcoming artists or people from my generation to get information or data because it's nowhere to be found.
It's difficult.
Yes. But then back then, the Swahili culture, we had a sound in Kenya that also gave birth to so many
sounds. Other sounds and genres.
Yes. But Tarab was there. Tarab was a good representation of a Swahili culture back then. But then at some point, Ikakujika disappear. So now we have all these things. But for me, when I go back to my roots and I believe in our culture, I take from what was there to create the now and possibly the future. So I can't ignore the fact that I am Liboi. And as Luya we say, Liboi.
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 Yes.
Yeah. So I'm Liboi from Huisero. But then I'm also a woman from this kind of time, from this time.
You are a descendant of the Tarab music and culture.
Right. But then I'm also supposed to shape the future and the narrative.
Yeah.
So it has to be seen in the music. And that's why I think when you listen to it, you hear a lot of Swahili culture.
No, it's amazing. And I was also thinking some of your music gives me a little bit of desert sounds, like because there's a lot of the acoustic guitar influence.
Yeah.
And it's a little similar to Mali music sounds. And for me, growing up, listening to a lot of Malian music, because my sisters always loved music and they introduced me to all this music around the continent, I always used to listen to that music and be like, why can't we make such lovely music? And now when I listen to Liboy, I'm like, listen to Akot Jumadi.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yes.
Imagine now I don't even have to go listen to the Malian music. I'm getting that music here from our very own artist.
Here in Kenya.
So I really want to give you your flowers and thank you so much for what you've done. You don't realize it, but this music is music for the long term.
Yeah.
You know, it's the music you would love to hear last year, this year, in the future.
In 5 years
It's the music that if anybody discovered around the continent, they'd be like, I'm proud. I'm proud. This sounds African.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's,
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's African, but also we need to acknowledge that Africa, we're one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go to TZ, to Tanzania, and find some things that, you know, are not far from your culture back home. You can go to Ghana and find the same thing. Like, there are things that resemble where you're from.
It could
be the environment. It could be how people are. It could be some culture or beliefs. You know, we're just one. So we borrow from each other either way. We just borrow from each other. Africa is one. And we need to also be able, because we are the healers, yes, and we are also the messengers. So we have to communicate that. We have to come together and appreciate our diversity. And what happens when we come together? Massiveness.
Yeah.
Massiveness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So we spoke a little bit about State of Being, Safari, the EP. What's the plan for 2024 in terms of new records?
The plan is to always grow and to express myself. I'm working on two different projects. One is a sound that is more electronic and house, and it's very new to me, but it's something I'm really into and I'm drawn into it to try and explore. But also, again, it's another way of just trying to, yes, express yourself, but differently.
Yes.
Yeah, and I love exploring my sound. I love exploring it. It just makes me feel so alive.
That's amazing.
So alive. So there is that one and there is another one. I have this thing of wanting to learn traditional instruments from Africa, but mostly from Kenya. So I'm determined to go back home and discover almost all the traditional instruments that I can find and see what I can do with
that. Oh, wow. That's a cool project.
Yeah. That is that project that I'm like, it has to be done. So
that's a very cool project. You should probably collaborate with Kasiva on that.
Because she also has a thing
for percussion.
She's been asking me for a different, because I have this instrument called udu. It's a pot. You know it?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a pot. It's originally from Nigeria and India. But in Nigeria, it's women who used to use it because it was a water vessel.
Okay.
So they would go to fetch water and then it would be halfway. And then when they played, it had this interesting deep sound. You just have to listen to it. So now it has, we reinvented it. It has a hole on the side that if you play it without water, it still has the same effect or same sound. So, but yeah.
And
but
you have the udu?
I have it.
Where'd you get the udu?
I got it from TZ.
Fantastic.
Yeah, from TZ.
Yeah, because Kasiva was on this podcast and she really spoke about the fact that percussions, traditional instruments, are like the vessel of and the foundation of our music, sound, industry, identity.
Yes.
And she was like, I can't just pick up a drum and start playing it.
Yeah.
You know, I have to talk to it. Yeah. I have to figure out how do I tune it to work with another instrument.
Exactly.
And she was like, when I meet with fellow singers and they have instruments, our instruments also have to have a meeting.
Exactly. And speak to each other.
Yeah. I was like, that's deep, man. Yeah.
So I'll definitely look for Kasiva. But that's a project that I'm really, really interested in doing.
I think
it's also because I'd want to go back and just dig deeper into my cultural roots. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
That's dope.
Yeah.
I feel the same for myself. I just feel like growing up, I don't know, there was just a lot of Western media around us.
Yeah.
And we had to take it upon ourselves to, you know, reintroduce ourselves to our own culture, you know. So it's up to you and me and the person listening to be the one to go back to their shags and discover what were the sounds, who were the artists.
And identity.
It's so hard to get that information anyway. Yeah. It's not something you can Google.
No.
It's something you can go on the ground and talk to your elders. You
Very true. Very true, elders. Because now Tabu from Ketebu.
Yes.
Yes. We had a sit down and he kept telling me, there are things you can't find in books.
Yeah.
There are things you can't find on the internet. There are things you just have to go back and research qua ground and get the answers.
Yeah.
So these are some of those.
Right?
Yeah, this is one of the, of those that needs you to go back and research. But another project that I'm looking forward to working on or having this year is having a tour.
Yes.
A tour in Europe. The last time I had a tour in Europe, it was actually in two countries, in Norway and Spain. But then I was in school, and I was in school in Norway, a music school. So it was courtesy of the school, because I think it was part of the education. But now I'd like to do it now as Liboy.
Yeah. And I think you have everything that it takes to tour internationally.
Yeah.
Because your sound itself really does sound like a full rounded sound. And I can imagine, like, with a band, it would sound so amazing. You know, you have the voice, you have the persona.
Thank you.
So I wish you well.
Thank you so much. Much. Thank you. We pray.
I wish you well.
The aim is to just go out and share the music and connect the message and connect to people, connect with them, allow art to connect with them as well. Because sometimes, imagine you can connect to someone's music, but not the person.
Mm.
And that's completely okay. Mm-hmm. Because either way, the message is going to get home. If it's through my music, that's okay. If it's through us just having a conversation, it's also still okay.
Yeah. Any other message or thing that you'd like to say and we haven't talked about?
I would just like to say thank you
to
you, first of all. I grew up watching her on live television, Grapevine. Grapevine was it. So also this thing of the media not creating space for this kind of sound has been in existence for quite some time because your station, your program, what you were doing was at that point, I don't remember seeing what you were doing in other stations.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So we knew every Monday.
Yeah. Was every Monday night.
We knew if you want to catch all the events in Nairobi, just tune in.
As a matter of fact, so many artists started there. Like, Salty Soul, you know, their first interview was at KBC, thanks to me.
Yes.
Calligraph. Yeah. I was the first person to interview Calligraph when we used to go cover his events when he didn't really have a song that would be on radio.
Mm-hmm.
He had mixtapes, but they were not playing anyone on radio.
Yeah.
So then that kind of artist couldn't get an interview on radio. You know, you don't have a radio song. Who are you? So he was getting interviews on Grapevine.
It still goes on up to now.
Right?
Yeah, up to date.
Bad Habits Die Hard.
Yes.
You know, Octopizzo, also the first person to interview him when he released like his first video on top.
And now look at all of you.
Right? So it was a great, great show.
Yeah.
And I really, really loved it. Mm. I still really love it. Mm. I just had to leave because obviously you crave for change. You crave to reach different audiences in different ways.
Exactly.
But it taught me so much in terms of what's happening in the industry. Mm. Where are the gaps? And that's why up to date, I'm still conscious to fill in the gap. And I think one important gap always has been the storytelling.
Yes.
You know, who's telling the story of the artists who are not on the mainstream?
Yes.
There's some artists like Yaba, who's also on this podcast last season.
Amazing artist.
You see him perform, he's like a god out there, you know, but then you don't hear him on radio. So we need to give the space for all these different kind of artists and individuals. No matter who you are, however your style is, you deserve a voice, you deserve a platform.
And we're all unique.
Yeah.
And there is something we offer. All of us.
Yeah.
We are different, but there's always something to offer.
Yeah.
Always.
So thank you so much
for having this space and for having me here.
It's been such a pleasure.
Yes. And also thank you to my family, my supporters.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do this without the support that I'm getting from my people. Yeah. From my community.
Yeah.
It's immense and I do feel it and I'm so appreciative of that.
And I also want to say thank you so much to Kipepeo
Agency.
For even making this interview happen.
Yes.
And just doing a good job over and above.
Yes.
Amazing individuals.
Thank you.
I've always loved the way they presented you when you had the State of Being EP.
Yes.
Up until now, I love it.
Thank you.
And I wish you well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We'll definitely meet again and again.
Habisa, ladies and gentlemen, that was Liboy, the amazing Liboy right here on VIP Access. And like we told you, qua ground, V2 ni different. So you need to come out of your space, wherever you are, go to the ground, connect with your culture and your roots and your people. We'll be back next week with yet another amazing guest who's going to inspire us to connect with our roots. Thank you, Liboy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
VIP Access Season 4 is proudly supported by the Australian High Commission.